772, reported by Abu Huraira, may Allah be pleased with him, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam قال الله عز وجل ثلاثة أنا خصمهم يوم القيامة رجل أعطى بي ثم غدر ورجل باع حرا فأكل ثمنه ورجل استأجر أجيرا فاستوفى منه ولم يعطيه أجرا. This hadith which reported by Abu Huraira, may Allah be pleased with him, the hadith in the collection of Imam Muslim. Hadith is authentic. Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم said, Allah the Almighty said, there are three that I boycott them, I don't talk to them in the day of judgment. A man who gave a promise, or a promise, okay, using Allah's name, like swear, you understand, say, Akhi, inshallah, I swear to you by Allah, I'm going to take care of this, okay? So now, as a result of this, that you using Allah's name, now, I will trust you that you're going to take care of this, okay? So now I'm not thinking about it, it's no problem, because you already give me your word using Allah's name, but you didn't fulfill it, okay? This is, it's too bad. It's too bad from two sides. Number one, you didn't keep your word, okay? And number two, that you had used the name of Allah, okay? You had used the name of Allah, and you didn't really keep your word. And what else is that the person did betrays the trust after he gives his promise using Allah's name. And after the second person that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and when Allah say these three people Allah is khasmuhum yawm al-qiyamah, that mean he be the adversity, or that he will be their appointed, or he will be against them, or he
adversary.
Yeah. That mean like now Allah is the one that you have to deal with. Okay. Yeah. So this is not an easy job. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if he's going to be against you in the day of judgment, this is a serious matter, okay? And this is shows you the seriousness of the act, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be against you. And it say that this person in the day of judgment, Allah will be against him. Why? Because he took a free man, which he made a slave out of him and sold him and took the money and he gone. You see? Because slavery, it doesn't happen to human being, okay, until there is a certain condition to make them to be in slavery, that they refusing Islam and they fight against Islam, okay, physically. And now when they been captured by the Islamic government, now they became in slavery. But you could not understand to go to any other country and snatch the people from the street or from wherever, and you go to other country and you make them a slave. They are not a slave. Okay? So this is another person whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be against in the day of judgment. And the third one, a person whom hires somebody to do a work for him, and after he did the job, he didn't pay him. You see, he didn't pay him. This shows you how we need to learn to respect the property of each other and the sweat of the people and the time that they do is not under, you could not take these things as symbol, okay? You have to respect it. When somebody do a work for you and you agree about a price and things like this, and a person he fulfill his condition, now it's time for you to fulfill your condition with him and give him the money. Okay, you could not let the people work for you for free and betray them and cheat them after they do the work. So this is three kind of people whom they're going to be in trouble with Allah in the day of judgment. عن ابن عباس رضي الله تعالى عنهما أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال إن أحق ما أخذتم عليه أجرا كتاب الله. أخرجه بها البخاري. حديث reported by ابن عباس, may Allah be pleased with him, and the collection of Imam al-Bukhari. The hadith is authentic. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم is telling us that the most worthy thing for which you receive payment is Allah's book. Okay, teaching Allah's book, teaching the people Quran. Okay, the permissibility of taking money for teaching the people Quran, and he's showing us that this is the best, that there is no harm of taking money as a result of this, especially if a person has no other income and you don't have any other talent to use except this. We could not use the people time for free, okay, because he's doing some kind of service, teaching the people. Okay, and hadith ibn Umar radiyallahu ta'ala anhuma qal qala rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam a'tu al-ajira ajra qabla an yajiffa araqah. Hadith is authentic, reported by Ibn Umar, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because when a person working, it shows that he's sweating, okay, and it will take maybe as soon he stop, a little bit breeze, the sweat is gone, okay. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam telling you, you shouldn't be dilating. Oh brother, inshallah, I see you next week. Oh brother, inshallah, oh I'm sorry, really, I was thinking to say, but what about you check with me, understand, a couple of weeks from now. You could not do this, okay? You have to be prepared as soon as the person finish fulfilling the job and taking care of what you ask him to do, that you pay him right away, like you say, pay on the spot, you see? And this is again how the Islam respects the property of the Muslims, okay? And respect also the Ahmed. Sit down. Go wash your face and come back. How the Islam respects the people's property and respects the people's effort, whatever effort they exert and whatever energy they put forth, you understand, for completion of any project, that we have to respect these things. We could not take this matter like lightly, okay? Inshallah, the last hadith in this chapter, hadith number 775. I could not reach a conclusion about the authenticity of the hadith, so inshallah I'm going to leave it, but basically is related to the same meaning of the hadith before this. We'll go to chapter number 16 inshallah. Chapter 16, and this is page number 323 from the book Bulugh al-Maram concerning business transaction. Babu Ihya al-Mawad. Has nobody living in it and is not cultivated, is not good for anything, or deserted area and things like this. If somebody go, and this doesn't belong to anybody, it doesn't belong to anybody, okay, that the only lawful owner that you can call it as the owner is the government or the country or whatever it is, okay? This is the chapter talking about concerning this land that a person can enhance it or improve it. عن عروة عن عائشة رضي الله تعالى عنها أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال من عمر أرضا ليست لأحد فهو أحق بها رواه البخاري. ذات if anybody go to a land which doesn't belong to anybody, this is number one, okay? Don't forget that doesn't belong to anybody, and he revive it or develop it or try to enhance it, who develops land which has no owner has the most right to it.
Homesteading.
Thank you. So the person who goes and does this, he has the right more to this land more than anybody else. So it's two conditions here, that the land doesn't belong to anybody. Number two, that the person, he doesn't go and sits on it and after this is my land and they said no, he's going to do some kind of development for this land. As example, by clean it, okay, at least not to be a place for dumps and for trash. Okay, he will plant it, he will put a fence around it, okay, put some trees in it with shades and things like this, some kind of development for this property. Now he will have the right up to this land more than anybody else. And the other hadith shows us more that من أحيا أرضا ميتة فهي له. In the hadith, the second hadith, which hadith number 777, the hadith is Hassan, is good. That whosoever makes a boring land productive, it belongs to him. So ownership in Islam can come by other means besides buying, and this what? By developing a land that doesn't belong to anybody. And you know, like lands almost everywhere, okay? So the person can go out of the city limit or out of the state limit or whatever it is, and there is plenty lands there, and all what it takes is for him to cultivate it, to improve it and things like this. Now this is became his property. The next hadith, hadith number 778, عن ابن عباس رضي الله تعالى عنهما أن الصعب ابن جثامة الليثي رضي الله تعالى عنه أخبره أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال لا حمى إلا لله ولرسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم. The hadith is authentic. I think I did a jumbo hadith. Okay. First, let me explain to you what is a hima. Hima is a certain piece of property that the king will keep it for his own horses or his own livestock, and he will forbid anybody else to let his livestock go and eat from there. Okay, so this Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying there is no preserve except what belongs to Allah and His Messenger. Okay, that means there is nothing called no trespass limits. Okay, and from the land that doesn't belong to anybody. Okay, that because the person is the imam, or that because he is the leader, or because that he is the king, okay, except what is for Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So this thing that used to be done by kings and rulers is been polished by Islam, and things which may be utilized by all the Muslims are going to be equal in utilizing these things. When it said for Allah and His Messenger, that as example the place which is belong to Bayt al-Mal al-Muslimin, as example, okay, the treasurer for the Islamic government, and they have the livestock, okay, cows and camels and things like this. So now they can have like a fence area or a limit on the area that nobody supposed to utilize it except this for Bayt al-Mal, okay. So it will be preserved only for the treasurer of the Muslims. Okay, this is the only conditions. Other than this, is not because the person is king or he's the emir or he's in charge of the country. Now he will have something for him privately that nobody else can go in it. Okay. So all the land doesn't belong to anybody, okay, can be utilized by the Muslims in equal way, except whatever that been done or been saved specially for the purpose, for the property of the zakah, or something belong to the Muslim army and they have to use this for this purpose. So this is a hima only for Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Hadith number 779 in page number 324. وعنه رضي الله عنه ذات مين ابن عباس again. قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لا ضرر ولا ضرار. رواه أحمد وابن ماجه. And the hadith is authentic, is صحيح. That the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم said, you should neither harm yourself nor cause harm to others. Okay? You are not supposed to harm yourself, neither you supposed to cause harm for others. And this is something very important. Okay? And your benefit is not supposed to be built on harming others also, okay? As example, so why, what this have to do with the chapter we're talking about, business transaction, okay? Or what you have to look today in a place like in America here, how many people, their income build on this? In actuality, their income build on this. Look to the people understand who in tobacco business, look to the people in liquor business, drugs, okay? So it doesn't matter, as long as they get rich and as long as they're making the money, it doesn't matter what's happening to the people, okay? Which is, this is not Islamically, you see? So as long as he getting rich, he getting the money, doesn't matter what's happening to the people's health, what's happening to the people, to the families, what's happening to people, they go to jail after taking these things and getting in trouble, doesn't matter. So Islam doesn't make you rich or allows you to get income as a result of this somebody else getting harmed, you see? But you can benefit yourself in a means that is not going to be harm for others, okay? The next hadith, hadith number 780 is weak, and hadith number 781 is weak, we leave both of them alone. And hadith number 782, وعن علقمة ابن وائل عن أبيه رضي الله عنه أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أقطعه أرضا بحضر موت. This hadith is authentic that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had give him property or assign him a land in Hadramaut. This shows the permissibility that the Imam of the Muslim community, that means the Khalifa, the head of the state, it has the right to give from the land of the Muslims, okay, that mean doesn't belong to any Muslims, okay, which we call it dead or uncultivated or unused, okay, he can give it to one of the Muslims, give part of it. It can be for encouragement or for whatever reason, you understand, not because that his relatives, okay, but he given it to him as assignment or is a sadaqah, is a given, is a given, okay, is not a charity, but this is, he can give him the land and this will be his land, and this is one of the ways also for you that you obtain and you possess a property, okay, because we said before about buying the property or that you develop a dead or ruined area. Okay, you try to cultivate it and prove it will be yours, or that the Imam will give you a piece of the property. This also will be a way for you to possess and to own the land. And this will go back to the what you call the discretion of the Imam, if we see that this person is needy, or this maybe will strengthen his deen, or this maybe will be something good to improve certain people in the community, that he can give them piece of property for their ownership. The next hadith, hadith number 783, is weak, we're going to leave it alone. Last hadith in this chapter, hadith number 784. وعن رجل من الصحابة رضي الله تعالى عنه قال غزوت مع النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فسمعته يقول الناس شركاء في ثلاث في الكلاء والماء والنار رواه أحمد وأبو داود. And the hadith is authentic, inshallah the hadith is صحيح. So the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the people are partners in three things: in the pasture, water, and fire. Means the wood. That means is something for everybody. Okay? Nobody can claim ownership of it, and nobody can go and say this is mine, because basically this is something for the use of everybody, and basically everybody need it, and it's everywhere. So everybody can go and get his needs out of it, without he have to be paying something or somebody to claim this kind of ownership. These three things: the grass, okay, that because people have livestock, they can let their animal go and eat from the land, okay, this plants and this grass that grow without any human being doing too much about it. So this is for everybody. Also, that the people are partners, that mean anybody can go and get his share. Cut woods, like we have forests and things like this, and people, they need to warm up during the winter. Everybody can go and take his axe or his handsaw, whatever it is, and chainsaw, and cut whatever he want and keep warm in his house.
Government land, all right?
Huh?
On government land.
It's not a government land, it's Allah's land.
Not on private land.
Not in private lands. We're talking about lands which is not owned by, wherever it is. Okay, you can call it government, but it's not belong to the, yeah. And I don't think you can go do this in the government land. And the third thing also, the water, like rivers, okay, oceans and things like this. Okay, so the rivers, anybody can go swim it or have boats or take water and take it to their houses or whatever it is that they use for this water. So these things is for everybody, for the uses of everybody. So nobody some and come here and listen, say kangaroo river is mine. Okay, you could not do this, okay, because this is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it for everybody. Your English too much for me, brother. I could not keep with all this expressions. Okay. It's okay. I'll take my classes too. Okay. We have two small chapters, or three, maybe we leave them for next class, because this will be after this, still dealing with transaction, or still transaction. Okay. We still have maybe about approximately 1 to 2 classes in business transaction, and after this we'll be starting the book of marriage, inshallah. So because I don't think we'll have enough time to finish for today, so let's leave the rest of this for one class or two classes more, inshallah. And we stop here. جزاكم الله خيرا. Appreciate your time. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك واتوب اليك. You have one?
Yes. It's monopoly. You understand the concept of monopoly? Is that allowed in Islam?
Okay, what is monopoly?
It's like you're the only one Well, say like a Bill Gates.
Okay.
You don't want to have the,
It was like Bell Telephone 50 years ago.
Okay.
You don't want to have a business and you try to, in that business.
Okay. Excuse me?
A monopoly is you're the only one.
All right, my brother. Inshallah. Alaykum salam wa rahmatullah. Is Imam there? Inshallah. Assalamu alaikum. Okay, assalamu alaikum. Monopoly, what I understand that as long as not, and don't quote me now, okay, this is the best of my understanding, and I think I spoke about it in one class before, as long as not something which is a life necessity, okay, it's not a life necessity, and you are not the only seller there, you can sell it. And I give example by weed as example, okay, or the flower. This is one of the basic things, or let's say rice or weed or things which you consider like the basic of one of the basics of the people life. What is one of the basic? Huh?
Water. You dam the river off.
No, we try to get something as example that we. Because water people can go, you understand, and we said the water everybody have it. This is out of this issue.
Flour,
because you understand flour is people which they make the bread and consider like a necessity in the people. Yes, necessity of life. So if you're the only seller of this, Ahmed, sit down. If you're the only seller of this, this is a problem. If you go and sell perfume as example, perfume is not a necessity of life. And nobody else is selling perfume except you. And now you're going to make the jasmine fragrance. You're going to sell the small bottle like this for $100. Islam gives you these rights. You can do it. Nobody else can compete with you about selling the jasmine. It's nobody else. You're the only one can get the flower from India or whatever and squeeze it and make it. So this because is not people can live without even having perfume. But when you go to sell a product like a flour and rice, which you consider part of the people's necessity in their life, and due to the fact, the absence of other people selling the other product, now you could not. Islamic government will have the right to come and put a price on the product that you sell. You see? We'll put a price on it. But if we found another people selling rice and you want to sell the bag of rice for $50, as long as there is other people selling the product, we'll let you sell it for $50.
But a monopoly almost includes other factor. It's like, say for instance you're richer, and you have the means to control the market and keep other people from doing. That's closer to the monopoly idea. It's like cornering the market to sell.
If you brought up all the steel one year and you're the only one that can produce a car because you bought up all the steel.
Okay, now we're going to go to say, is the car necessity in the life? Can the people take a taxi? Can the people take a bus? Can the people ride a motorcycle? Can the people ride a bike? You see? Because we're talking about something that if you don't have it, it can be almost no life, or that you could not even go and come back to your work and do the basic things of life. Okay? So when somebody comes and rolls the rice or whatever it is, this is a different issue now we're talking about, like somebody trying to be the only one selling Mercedes. Mm-hmm. So people can buy American cars as example.
No, but suppose the purse is actually used by what they call hook and crook to become the only one.
Okay, but is it a necessity of life? This is the issue.
I wasn't thinking about the necessity factor. I was thinking about the action of the person where they try to be the only one by dishonest or deceptive means.
No, no. First, in Islam, we don't respect or accept any crooked means to reach any goal, okay? But let's assume that a person, he's going to be the only contractor of building houses in Colombia. Okay, he's the only one, okay? But is there another alternative and way that people can live? They can rent apartments, they can have trailer houses, they can different ways, okay? So now, if he doing it from a clean, lawful way with no crookedness, and he want to be the only person, okay, and he bought all these big cement trucks and nobody can make any other except him. So this is something different now. This is not a... As long as there is alternatives for people to do something different from... You could... I don't see that... At least, as I said, this is my understanding.
What you cover is basically what is called a sole agent. So in answering the question, it seems as though you say monopoly is incorrect. Because monopoly usually implies that someone is using unfair means to attain the goal of being a sole person.
We have there is many hadith that we talk about it while we was talking about business transaction, about person deceiving, person you understand try to do different things to reach this goal, and all these things is forbidden in Islam. But still, if you find a person that have a clean means and he became the only buyer or the only agent that's selling, okay, tell them to call later. And he became the only person selling Mercedes in Columbia, South Carolina, in the whole South Carolina. So I don't see Islam will stop him to be the only agent, okay? But he got it from clean sources. And because why? Because people can get American car. They can get any other vehicle. They even can take buses sometimes, okay? So this is going to be a different, you understand? If a person will be the only... Okay. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت الرحمن الرحيم إن الحمد لله أحمده وأستعينه وأستغفره نعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كلام الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها فإن كل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. Praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he's the only one worthy of praise. I seek his help, his guidance and his forgiveness. I believe in him and trust him. I seek refuge in Almighty Allah from the evil of our passions. Indeed, whomsoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides him to Al-Islam, no one can mislead him after Allah. And whomsoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put him astray, no one can guide him after Allah. I testify, O believers, that there is no deity worthy of worship except Allah Rabbil Alameen. And I testify that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his messenger and the seal of all the prophets. O Muslims, you must know that the best speech is the speech of Almighty Allah, which is the Quran. The best guidance is the course of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which is his sunnah. The worst of all affairs is innovation and addition to the religion of Islam. Indeed, every addition to the religion of Islam will lead to hellfire. I adjure you as well as myself to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the best of your ability. Fear Allah and don't die unless you are Muslims. Today, inshallah, which is Tuesday, the 2nd of Rabi' al-Awwal for the year 1420 after the migration of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which is equivalent to the 15th of June for the year 1999. And this class for the explanation of Bulugh al-Maram, this is the 12th class and the last class for the 4th album. And we're still talking under the chapter, the book of business and transaction. As I said and I stated that this is the last class for the 4th album. And inshallah, hopefully that we'll be able to finish the business transaction today. So next week when we start, inshallah, we'll be starting a new book, which is a book of marriage. Inshallah, we'll try to use this space on tape number 11, and after this we'll start a new cassette to continue this class. Again, we talking about Bulugh al-Maram for explanation and for synthetic of the hadith. This book of Bulugh al-Maram by Al-Hafidh Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani. And for those who have the book, inshallah, we have today the book of endowment, which is the book of waqf. And this will be page number 325. And today we're going to be dealing with hadith number 785. First, before we talk about al-waqf and the hadith that came about waqf, this term waqf, which is equivalent to the word endowment, means to donate something for the pleasure of Allah, but with the condition that the original of such a thing to remain there, not to be sold, not to be possessed by anybody, and the revenue of such a thing will be utilized fi sabilillah. This what you call it waqf. As example, a person have a house and he want to make endowment to this house, that he want to make a waqf for Allah's cause. Okay, so he will give this house to an Islamic organization or to a masjid or to a trustworthy person, and he would say this is house is for Allah, not to be sold, not to be given to anybody, but only to be utilized for Allah's sake. That means it can be rented, and whatever money comes out of it, it can be spent in the mosque or in the students of knowledge, in the mujahideen fi sabilillah. So the root of such things that you donate is going to always remain there. But the fruit of it and the outcome of it or the revenue of it, this is what you're going to be, people going to be utilizing. I hope that this is clear now. This is what you call waqf. And maybe by reading a little bit in the hadith will explain to us what is this waqf. Hadith number 785 عن أبي هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال إذا مات الإنسان انقطع عنه عمله إلا من ثلاثة: صدقة جارية، أو علم ينتفع به، أو ولد صالح يدعو له. This hadith reported by Abu Huraira, may Allah be pleased with him. Again, this is chapter number 17, page number 325, hadith number 785. The hadith is reported by Abu Huraira, may Allah be pleased with him. And the hadith in the collection of Imam Muslim, so the hadith is authentic. That Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam informing us that when son of Adam dies, when a human being dies, all his good deed is sealed. That means no more good deed that he can earn, because if a person die, he could not pray anymore, he could not fast anymore, and you only get the reward of what you do. Okay, so now when a person is dead, he could not make salah anymore, so you could not receive any more blessings. But only there is three conditions as exception. A person can be dead and still receiving blessings. What is these three conditions? That sadaqah jariyah, which you call it a continuous charity, or useful knowledge, or a righteous son which will supplicate to his father or his mother. So from this hadith we understand that all reward comes as a result of your action. What do you do? Regardless if you do it physically or you do it by your hand or by your wealth, whatever that you do it while you're alive, you're getting the blessings for it. This what comes. So if you die, all your deed stopped, or the incoming blessings, recorded blessings, is stopped, ceased anymore. No, by your wealth, whatever that you do it while you're alive, you're getting the blessings for it. This what comes. So if you die, all your deed stopped, or the incoming blessings, recorded blessings, is stopped, ceased anymore. No more.